But for most things, homeopathy, good angstrom level supplements, chemotherapy, they're all anomalies, and because you can't totally, if it fails...
It's based on the, it won't fail. It's decided before it's applied.
Yeah, by the individual, but you
can't. The individual human creator decides if that back surgery is going to help them or hurt them. That's all worked out before they ever get the tin blade out and start cutting.
Yeah, okay, so someone goes and works it out that they will be cured by homeopathy, they will go to homeopathy and it works.
Yep, and those that won't are looking for a reason anyway, and they'll just keep peddling at it and keep peddling at it, and the doctors are in a tangled up mess because they don't have the cross-section of all of human creators. They only see the sick ones. If they saw everybody, they could say, now wait now, this is a little too crazy here. Let's do this and do this and do this and change this and change that and sort of have a cross-section. No, they get the ones that are the most disconnected. So they gauge their prescription based on the most unconnected ones on cross-section of the human creators.
So, Carolyn, are you, in your medical book that you're doing with ION, you've just done the inventory of diseases, are you going to point out this principle that it doesn't work unless the person comes to it?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a new thing. That's not said in medicine, that the person determines whether it's going to help them or not.
Maybe not. Maybe that...
It's sort of vague.
Vaguely, yeah.
But it's not stated as a principle or a law.
No.
That you'll be saying that homeopathy, none of these things are any better than anything else. It's just what the user... the substance offered is the medium, and the user is the content. The user determines whether it's going to be effective on them or not beforehand.
Right, and that's actually a very good point of how the book could be positioned.
Yep.
Very good.
That could be the opening. That's the big theme.
User is
content. Well, yeah, that's your zinger at the end.
Oh, the user is the content? Or I'm talking about principle. Forget the user.
No, but you allude to it in the vagueness, but then at the end and say, all right, now here we go. We've broken this all down for you. And here you go. But now you do realize that this works every single time without failing or exception based upon the human individual, human creator's take on it. You see, because doctors can say this pill will help you, and if they tell people that and they believe it, then it does. Well, if they say this pill will help you, and here are the side effects. It causes blindness, erectile dysfunction, and 2 to 10 million things that are wrong, and people kind of going, well, doctor, all those side effects sound worse than what I was suffering before I had to have the drug. Oh, I know. Go ahead and take it because we've got another drug to offset those side effects. And that drug has these side effects. Well, once they're straight up about the side effects, nobody would take it ever anyway.
Okay. So what I see, Carolyn, is it becomes an advertising war. If homeopathy and the alternative things... the fringe treatments were allowed to be on major media and had the money to do it,
mm-hmm.
everybody would take turns advertising their cure, their treatment,
mm-hmm.
In some appealing environment. Some would have Mick Jagger, some would have Madonna, and the person would respond to the ad. Oh, I like that environment. I'll go for that treatment. You see
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be the battle, which is really what's going on now, but it's on playing... unfair playing field. They don't allow the alternatives to have flashy ads to compete with the Viagra ads.
Right. Well, actually, that's exactly what I said to J.W. might have been on the other day, that's one of the reasons that I want an investor is so that I can have a big advertising budget.
And enter the game.
Yeah, advertise, you know, wellness and lifestyle is the answer.
And if they like your face, oh, I like that woman, I'm going to go with her thing, you know?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Ion? That's what we're...
And if you could get to... But see, the way for that to work most effectively is to reach the ones that are already well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, get them.
If you wait till their own death's door and then want to start relaxing and allowing, you know, they've already cut their arm off. This will make you whole again. well, I've already lost two legs and half an arm.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
okay.
of hard to start with those to say this really works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you're to get the ones who are well who think they got a problem? Well, who are the
no,
ones?
No, like what I do, get to the ones as a preventive. This is the way to keep yourself well.
Oh, so you treat the well.
Not treating, yeah. It's telling them how to
activating it from everybody, not just the most sick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Carolyn says, if you're well, take this.
No, here's the information. Here are the words you can use to keep yourself well.
So you're niche marketing. You're going for the well people,
mm-hmm.
not the sick people. It's a new kind of doctoring.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, now, many are playing with those wellness centers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one of the worst ones that has a pretty good stream going on about it is your Kaiser Permanente.
Mm-hmm.
They have these wellness clinics, but that's the way it works in Canada. Their doctors are paid based on how well they can keep the patients, not on how sick they can doctor them or how many they doctor.
Well,
it's about how they can keep them as well as they can.
Well, it's kind of, but they do it with drugs, so they're not
yeah.
very good at it.
Well, that's right.
And I understand that the Kaiser offering isn't very good. You said one of the worst ones that offers wellness.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. They're not very good at it.
Right,
right
because all their tools
The well ones don't respond. The well ones don't respond. They're going to the beach. They're not waiting. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't take that delicious vacation. I got to go to the doctor.
Right, so the wellness don't respond. So the wellness that Kaiser attracts, the well people, are actually sick people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas Carolyn would actually appeal, they could say, you can take your vacation and just do this. You don't have to go to the hospital or come
yeah.
to see me. That
walk
would be,
backwards on the beach and...
Yeah, this is how you'll... In other words, it'll be an appealing way to keep their wellness going.
Mm-hmm.
Kaiser does not appeal to the well people. It seems a little too sickly. Even though they're claiming they're treating wellness. Right?
Well, they are selling insurance
mm.
for their doctors and their world and their thing. And then once you get in there, they want your premiums. So it serves them that the weller you are, the less you're going to have to go see them. So
mm-hmm.
that's their point.
Mm-hmm.
But that the ones that respond are the ones that are most disconnected is to be a part of this wellness program that they're trying to peddle.
Right, the sick, they only deal within the sick world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carolyn's leaving the hospital and finding a market outside the hospital,
mm-hmm.
outside of the whole world of sickness or medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Hers is 1,000 times more effective if there's no ailment for you to deal with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we, 2 points. McLuhan once in a seminar, someone said, well, you're just giving us half-truths. We want the whole truth. And McLuhan said, well, a half-truth is a lot of truth for most people. and so I'm thinking that the half-truth is all the truth can be, because there's always the other side. Well, there's 2 conversations, you could say.
Right.
So there's the role of substance affecting you and the role of your response to the world and that is not affected by science.
We have a simpler way to describe it. That's like taking a sine wave without the cosine or the tangent that it bounces off of, you can't give how much the sine is.
Without having the cosine.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because then you don't know how high the high is and how low the low is.
Yeah, I don't...
From a wavelength.
Yeah, I don't remember how you see a cosine in relation to a sine wave.
Sine up and cosine down?
No, that's a sine wave, up and down.
So that...
What would be a cosine? That's something separate.
The opposite of the sine.
Oh,
sine
it's
is
lower,
up, cosine is down.
No, there's
that's
one...
That's a sine wave,
and
sine
a cosine,
is the up, and the cosine
no,
is down.
No, that's part of the same wave. I think he means another wave that goes down into the trough of the other sine wave. Are there 2 sine waves interacting in what you're saying?
There's sine and cosine.
Yeah, well, Carolyn's saying the cosine is the one half of the sine wave, the down part, the trough.
Yeah. Yes, because it's from the middle, the midline or the tangent.
Tangent, straight line going along?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. If you only go from the upper side,
if you only go from the upper side, but the lower side is the cosine. Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's divided by the tangent.
If you gauge the roller coaster by only the uphills,
or only the downhills,
you wouldn't get a good balance. They have to be as many highs as there are lows to sort of work it out. Otherwise, it won't go up and down.
Well, the down slope is divided by the tangent, and the upslope is divided by the tangent. Therefore, there's two cosine.
So if that be the case, then if you took the whole full equation, then it would be perfect for every single time. But you're right. If you take just the uphill thing, then you got nothing to gauge to see how you were doing. Does that get you there?
Well, you know, you go up and you go down, but that half thing is on the top side of the tangent. Then you go down below the tangent, you get the down, then it starts to go up. And it's like a half, it's a little curve, an average curve, a mean curve. One's above, one's below. So you call the cosine, okay.
And no, it's they're saying a cosine wave is said to be sinusoidal, and it's a sine wave with a phase shift of something divided by two.
Right.
So they're saying the blue one is the sine, or the red one is a sine wave, and the cosine is the
other one. That's what I was saying. It's another one. It's not what Ion was saying.
Right, or I was saying. I was saying those are sines and those are cosines. But
and that's what Ion's saying, but we're now disagreeing with Ion.
Right.
So Ion has an opportunity to correct our interpretation. Do you see what we're looking at?
This is back to Marshall McLuhan. Your duality has to be embraced, whether you call it the wavelengths of the up and down process of beside it or beyond it.
Yeah, there's two sine waves, one sine and one's call, and that's the duality.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. So the tangent that goes through the middle, would that be the 33rd parallel or the equator? Is the Earth a sine cosine between the North and South Pole?
No, because those are constants, and this is always changing.
What's always changing? Which one? The Earth or this picture we're looking at?
Yes.
No. They're both always changing.
Right. That's why you got to have two sine different waves to gauge the highs and lows of the difference of the cotangent.
Okay. So why did we? Okay. So that was that.
Because of Marshall McLuhan.
Half truth.
Half truth.
All right. So he said a half truth. So what was? He said a half truth is a lot of truth, but then you're saying, well, there's no such thing as a half truth unless you get another half truth.
Correct.
To compare it. Okay,
And then the truth in and of itself is based upon the individual human creator's embracing of it or not. So even something that's the gospel truth or the God's honest truth can be turned right around and made to be out to be a damned old lie.
Right. So
what do you mean it's a lie? I saw it with my very own eyes. I mean, those lying eyes get you in lots of trouble.
Yeah, so there's reality, and that's half the situation, and then it can be established as real, but it's
quickly. Then there's surreality.
Which is caused by the will of the person.
And it's just as easily achieved as experiencing something that's already in your now.
What is just as easily experienced?
The surreality.
Is just as the I'm
the
saying,
lie.
Okay, you have reality, and then you have the individuals ignoring or resonating with the reality, and that's the will part. We call it will or something. You know, the resistance, the blocking and merging of the subjectivity of the person. You follow that words? Those words?
Yeah.
You do. Are you in?
Yeah.
You're very faint on that. You're not going, yes.
Well, we don't know which way you're going with it. So you're saying, no, you make this statement, and then you go, no, that's right. And then you go,
those terms.
Right. Well, then
okay, the half the thing, the will, the humans deciding what's happening,
Well, the will has nothing to do with deciding.
Oh, what does the deciding? This is what we're always trying to figure out. What does the deciding? What do we call that? It's not will. It's not relax and allow. It's not attitude. It's not subjectivity. What is it?
We don't know. We don't have any idea. We have no way to know the place. There's no beginning place. That's like, that would be like saying, okay, on, when did time begin? Well, we say there is no time, so it didn't begin. Oh, yes. Now time
has... Okay, we got that. But so you're saying that something is over here in the physical. You find it hard to gauge what it is, but there is something here, the individual creator, you call it, that determines what the facts are, at least half of the facts.
Well, the facts, there are no facts. The facts, they change on you. You change the rules and regulations that you gave.
Yeah.
What
is it that? What is that? You go. You change the blah blah blah. What is you? What is you? What's it? What chemistry?
No, he said they change.
No. You. He said you change whatever you're responding to.
Mm-hmm. You, the human individual creator.
Got that? There's that phrase. Can we put some other words? What are the chemical constituents or etheric constituents of you, the human individual creator? What is that thing?
The confines of your fucked up mind.
All right, what's some of the chemical cons... When they get the technology to scan people's brains and be able to scan the you, the individual creator that's screwing up the instrument's measurement of you or determining its your resonance with it, what will they say it's made up of? 400 beta waves or something, or alpha wave? What will they... What is it made up of?
You won't pin it down to one... You won't pin it down to... a tactile or formula that says, in this place you're sane, in this place you're crazy.
In other words, the very principle, okay, we've pinned down what it is, the scientific instrument says, and then the human creator says, nah, you didn't pin it down, I'm over here.
Exactly. We have an example.
No, but that is something that people have pointed out all through, well, I don't know how long. They point out that the human person is an autonomous thing that determines its own reality, and that will never be, quote, understood or pinned down.
Well, as soon as you do, then you change it. And we have a perfect example. They could do tests to check your sight, to see how sighted you are.
Your vision,
Well, and guess what? And guess how that's gauged? By you using your voice to say, MEABCDF. Okay, that's
the picture.
It up on the wall.
Yeah.
They put it up on the wall, and then they gauge a test to see how many of those letters you can get.
Right.
But that's not your eyes that are taking the test. That's what your mind sees. And that's how they gauge your sightedness. Well, is that better or is that worse? Is that better or is that worse? Is that better or is that worse? By the clearness of it. And then they adjust your sightedness, not based on your eyes, based on your minds. This looks better than this one. And the one or two yes or no choices. And it's an individual. Now, they see anomalies with farsightedness and nearsightedness and macular degeneration and glaucoma. And there's other aspects that come along after the fact. But they still gauge it based on your ability to give them the letters that they're showing you. They've decided, here are the letters. And then you look at it and you start calling off other letters. And they're like, oh, you're blind as a bat. Well, maybe those don't line up for you the way they line up for them, the doctor. Or maybe somebody that doesn't know the alphabet. How do they take an eye test? Well, they do pictures. House, candy cane. Orgasm. We don't know what a picture of an orgasm looks like, but they have these different symbols that they can use that the individual can relate to. Okay? They relate to. And for example, if you were going to France...
No, listen. Here's the issue I'm getting. So that the doctor knows that your mind is doing it, but they pretend that it's a sighted physical eyeball that they're correcting. But they know that it's your mental decision. So they say, is this
correct,
clear or that clear? And they only discuss it. They might not acknowledge it's your mind's doing it, but you're saying the mind is doing it.
go to a French eye doctor and try to take the eye test, and if you don't follow their rules, they may call you blind.
I see. Yeah. Okay, so we were, now why were we doing that?
Because we were trying to make the point of...
Oh, yeah, consciousness. We can't see the thing that does the consciousness. Oh, so...
We should do shorter sentences so you can not forget...
No, it's all right. So that's what the word tactile to me refers to, Carol. The thing that organizes your sense life, we call that tactility.
Mm-hmm.
That's the invisible, inaudible, can't touch it, willful thing that human creator is changing itself all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't pin it down. That's actually what tactile... means. It's in the gap, and in the gap you get surrealistic.
Well, and it's all surrealistic, really. That's what you're actually your question.
Yeah, but when you say that's when you say, well, me, the human creator, say, well, it's not all surrealistic because there is a shared reality that people seem to come up, and we, you know, that's what I'm interested in, the collective thing, how people agree, why they agree on certain things. It's very fragile.
They agree, Bob?
They do. They agree.
When?
Well, they agree this place looks like the same place every day.
But does it?
Yep. Now, if you looked at the subtle,
if you go into the subtle
changes, yeah, it's different. But there's
it's not subtle.
The bland
it's
level.
It's not subtle. There'd be no news if everybody saw the same thing every single time. There'd be no news show. Why would there be a news show? Everybody'd be seeing the same thing at the same time. So, no. They spend all day, every day coming back.
What do you mean there'd be no news show?
There'd be no television news.
Why? If everybody could see? No, they don't.
If everybody saw the same things, they'd all know the same things, and it'd be
nothing. Yeah, they don't. They block themselves, and they don't know what's happening in China.
Well,
they watch the news, and they agree.
But they don't know because it's not the same. Yesterday, somebody got murdered. Tomorrow, they don't say, oh, hooray, hooray, it's been a great day. Nobody got murdered today. Well, no, that's not good news. No. Not only did they get murdered, they got robbed and they got raped before they were murdered, and they haven't found the body yet. So it just keeps going on and on and on and on and on for more and more from this dimension that nobody sees it the same way. Nobody sees it that way.
We know that half-truth, and you keep emphasizing it, but there's this the other half-truth that people go around agreeing that Carolyn's Carolyn, and she's a doctor, and other people aren't, and this and that, and they have a shared thing. If anybody pursued it, really looked at it, they'd find, well, Carolyn's not a regular kind of doctor. Then if they'd look at it, and if you get a bunch of people agreeing to look at it at the same time, then they might change their view. But that's the tactile process. We change reality, and reality imposes itself on us or among the group. That's the meme process.
So the point is based on the view.
The view. What's that? The view.
What
of,
you were talking about.
No, not on the view. It's about a sharing.
Yes, it is about the view. It's how they see it. If they change their view of Carolyn, so then what you're saying is that everything then would be about the view
There's a general... We go between the individual subjectivity and willfulness and changing and being ornery and to the shared part. And I'm always bringing this up about what is this shared part and how is that going to change? You know, it's like we're waiting to see how many people, human creators, are going to get all freaked out about the potential earthquake and whether they want it or not. And then the alpha waves build up, and there's some kind of resonance, and then everybody, yeah, that's it. We want the big wave now. We're all going out now.
And the thing that we could agree on, that we could say that doesn't change, is that everyone has non-physical already within them. But even, and that's a truth. That's true.
Yeah.
But even that place of empirical proof, they'd still say, no, that's just the subatomic genius coming out in me, or no, that's just my physical.
Did you just say they couldn't prove, they'd misname the non-physical, they'd come up with another name. They'd say it's antimatter, but we haven't proven that yet, but it could be antimatter.
That's right. Even from that dynamic, from saying of the same, you're trying to have the empirical evidence of the constants that everyone has to agree on, and then we can agree to disagree. Well, you don't even have enough evidence to be able to disagree. let alone agree. So Marshall McLuhan, however, did make the statement that even half-truths are way more than what most people use to gauge their agreement or disagreement. Okay? Because this is very good. This is very, very good. Because let's just hold on a minute.
Yeah.
What you're bringing up for the individual human creator is that you if you could get rid of your mind, lose your mind. Uh-oh, that's a bad thing. Oh, no. Yeah, let's lose your mind. Yeah, forget your mind. Uh-oh, I can't remember my mind. Uh-oh, I've lost my mind. I can't remember what I was supposed to remember.
Mm.
Which mind are you talking about, Ion? We need to get this cleared up now. See, there you go. But if you could get out of your mind and you just had meat sack, body, blood, guts,
right,
and vinegar, and you just had non-physical or spirit man.
Right.
Okay? And you had no mind.
Right.
Okay. Then you would move into what you call your beast of your planet.
Hmm. That's what they are. Hmm.
Well, it's an example that we were hoping you could sort of embrace without bringing that nasty old mind back into the thing, the consciousness.
Yeah, okay. You were saying that's the way it is for animals. I get that.
Okay. All right. Now, if that's the case, see, an animal doesn't know or care. If you could get rid of your mind out of your picture, that's why the patients with the Alzheimer's that are in bad health, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, she has Alzheimer's, now all of a sudden their body starts correcting things that are out of balance, and they don't have sugar anymore, they don't have allergies to nuts anymore, they don't have these issues that they had before, because their mind doesn't press it into their place of being in their experience. So if you could take the question, the problem is the mind.
Okay, hold it.
You can take,
So, Karen, I wish you would participate in this.
I'm writing it all down.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to have your verbal input. But what is the mind then?
The labyrinth of the mind is the processes that you force your body, meat sack, and your non-physical spirit man to conform to.
Right, but it's not made up of silicon or magnesium or salt, or it's not made up
gray, of... It's gray matter.
It's gray matter.
Because they don't even know what to call it.
Is that a term people use, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Gray matter. What do they mean by that?
The peanut butter of your mind.
The actual tissue of the brain... Looks a bit gray, so they call it gray matter.
So they call the mind gray matter,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that, or is it? Is it that tissue? If you hit that tissue, hurt it, it affects the mind. So
it is the mind.
So it's that gray matter.
It doesn't affect the mind. It is the mind.
So we can see the mind.
Well, of course.
Well, we can see the physicality of the mind.
The substance.
Yeah, if you bang a baseball bat against it, it'll get inflamed and irritated and affect your thinking and
so
feeling.
So the gray matter, and they don't know what chemical compounds it's made up of?
Yeah, they know the nerves and neurons and all the different chemicals. Sure, they know.
Right.
And they have different areas that have different function. Meaning if they start poking in the frontal lobe.
So there's the question of what's the brain and what's the mind? We're describing the gray matter constituent of the brain inside the skull, and yet it's probably not limited to that ion?
No. You're hitting it right, Bob, but we can't answer it that way because you haven't developed. Well, you haven't developed what you're talking about. And if we answered it either way, you'd still be confused.
Okay, yeah, try to answer it knowing that it's not going to work, just so I can work with that. Let me work with this incomplete answer.
All right, that's fine. Okay, if you could remove your mind, lose your mind, they talk about people losing their mind.
Right,
if you could lose your mind, then what you've lost is the walls of the labyrinth. The walls of the labyrinth.
Okay, but we have to stop. When you said if you lose your mind, that means losing some of the gray matter?
No, not physically. No.
I'm talking about the physics of it, you know, this gray
matter. Well, but we're going beyond that. You asked for the next step beyond the gray matter and the chemicals.
Yeah, and I'm asking
what
that
am I leaving out? And this is what he's telling you,
yeah,
and you're not ready for it
yet. Well, yes, I am ready for it. I got a question about it. What is it made up of?
Gray
the labyrinth conduits.
What are they made up of? Electricity?
Maybe.
Well, ask Ian. What, you know, we talked, it's not the gray matter, this mushy stuff that you could touch.
Well, let's ask you this, since you're ready for the next tear. What is your body made up of? Physical meat sack.
All the components that the Wikipedia would tell me my arms and muscles and blood vessels are made up of, right?
No.
They are? It does include that. No, you could say
it has. No, it does not.
Oh, what does it include?
Well, it does not.
Well, what is it that does not? What is it?
It's only cells.
Okay, so it's cells. Those are physical.
No, wait. No, they're. Oh, are they? Oh, wait.
Okay. you got me cornered to watch
it. Oh, Connie, he bit.
Okay, stop and say, I don't care where your distractions. Stay on point.
Well, what point?
See, now he's forgotten. We got him. Well, how'd you get me? Well, we can't remember.
Here we go. You are nothing other than cells. That's all you are.
Okay.
You are only cells. Because you're saying that...
No, just hold that. We're only cells. What are cells made up of?
Protons, neutrons, and a field of ions.
Protons, neutrons, and you would include electrons?
Yes.
And a field?
In an ionic field.
The electrons are in an ionic field.
Yeah.
So most people.
No.
So let me just
stop.
Let me tell you what I've gotten, so then you can correct it.
But you'll forget.
Look, I want to say that most people, when you ask what's a cell made up of, they go neutrons, protons, electrons. They don't say ions usually.
In the ionic field.
Beg your pardon?
You're more than one atomic molecular.
Okay, people will say proton, neutron, electron. That's what the cell's made up of. And then someone will say, well, what about the ion? Oh, I didn't know about the ion. What's that? And then
it's the jelly.
It's the field. It's the field where...
the jelly where more than one atom occurs.
More than one atom, which is made up of a proton, neutron, electron.
It's the peanut butter that smears the ions.
The electron, proton, neutron together.
Okay.
The ion's the tactility. That's what's so appropriate about ion as a name. It's the thing that glues things together or smooths them over or resonates them together to coherency, correct?
Mm-hmm. So that's what you are.
Those are four parts.
Yep, that's all.
Yeah, and the ion is...
No more.
Right, no, I got that. But the ion is the nebulous envelope, the nebulous field. It's like the mind itself in physical terms that holds things together. You follow what I'm saying there?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that, Ion?
You see, he already agreed, Bob.
We don't need...
He already said it.
He already said what?
That this field holds it all together.
What did he say? We forgot.
No, I got that. Okay, so I repeated what you had agreed to, and you agreed to what I repeated.
Therefore, it was your idea.
No, don't bring the personality into it. I'm not claiming anything. I'm just using words to talk to you and trying to get it down, get the right words.
Okay. Now that's all because we ask you what the body.
That's what we're made up of. Those four relations.
And that's all, because you were saying with arms and legs and this, that, and the other. Because then we said no, because some people can chop legs off, so now you're no longer human.
Oh, okay, you got that. We're just
making.
Yeah, what?
So that's all it is.
You cut your leg off and then you can feel the phantom pain. Is that what you were going to bring
up? No, that you're still alive without your leg. So your leg isn't a requirement for what you're made up of.
So we've cracked the code. We know what we're made up of.
Okay.
And what are they made up of?
What are they made up of,
those four things? What are they made up of? Is it the rock bottom? There's nothing below that. No subset of that. The neutrons.
Oh, but there is.
Okay.
Here's the part that you're going to like.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know if you're going to like it or
not. Forget about whether I like it. Yeah, 50-50 chance. Don't worry about it. Don't take it personal, however I react.
You got a 50-50 chance.
Don't take it personally, however I react.
They human creators, with the physical, non-physical, with their labyrinth of their mind, with walls intact, gray matter snapping, and working normally, okay?
Yeah.
Here you go. They're now discovering when you have these atoms that have the electrons, they're constantly moving.
Okay, the atom is the proton, neutron, electron, and ion, correct?
Well, in an ionic field.
Ah, okay, three parts, three and four, or three and another part, okay.
Correct. And we'd say...
And they're finding out, now they got your definition, they're finding out what?
They're finding out that electrons are here, and then they pop and they're here. Pop and they're here. And then they look really closely. They have now electron microscopes.
Yeah.
And they realize that there's two electrons can be in the same place at the same time.
Right.
And they also can disappear from its structure altogether. And that anomaly is really causing some stir and some problems because the labyrinth of the mind said that the world is flat.
That's right. So what I get from that is they're realizing that there's something other involved than the four components. You know what I mean?
No. There's something else involved. Yes.
Yeah. Ion act aberrant and anomalous, and that the only way you can solve that is bringing the non-physical.
Into
parallel worlds. That's it.
And that's what proves
right.
Parallel worlds, because that's all you are is cells, lots of
and
them.
And that's what's going on at your basic foundational
structure. And
that's
what's going on at your basic
And the rest of the world resonates, echoes that point.
And that's the consistent anomaly that they don't understand.
Right, Carol's smiling. You like that, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Got it. Perfect.
Now, that's at the basis level. Now, we've done that from your physical.
Yeah.
Now, what is your non-physical?
Yeah. What's it
what
made
is that?
Of? Yeah, what is that? That's right. What is it? What is that?
You can have non-physical with no meat sack whatsoever.
Okay,
ions, no neutrons.
That's right.
No, none of that.
Okay, hold
it.
Go any further. Yeah, we got that. Almost any minute. Now, just let's say this. So you've got the electron bouncing around. That does not necessarily mean there's a non-physical, but it means within the realm of matter there's more than one world.
There's not.
The bouncing on electron does imply not only parallel worlds, but implies non-physical. Doesn't imply non-physical.
No.
Okay, so
not.
I'm understanding it to be only within the physical. It's the physical foundation, and it implies two conversations of everything to other worlds. That's in the physical. We still don't know what the non-physical is.
Good. Yeah. And so we ask, and we still don't know, and we were trying to tell you, so we got that cleaned up. Okay.
Yeah.
Non-physical is not bound by your molecular structured rules and regulations.
Right.
This is your...
Is it bound by the mind?
No. Hell no. Oh, thank God.
Remember the Stone Cold Dead tapes. Mm-hmm. Once you're just non-physical, there's no mind.
There's no mind.
You don't mind.
Right. So you
were
saying,
never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah, I got it.
Never mind. Good.
Yeah. So you're pointing out that it's not physical. It's not
at
physical.
All.
Yes.
And when you're talking about non-physical, it's a collective. It's not an individual.
Mm.
It's a collective entity.
Mm.
It's all. Now, the way you'd show up in those applications of non-physical can be the inertia that causes kinetic energy to begun.
Okay, so you're now bringing in physical things, inertia and kinetic energy, right?
Yes, because you don't understand. You humans don't understand that either, but you know the representations and the valuations of those.
And what's an example
the
of inertia?
Thereof.
What's the values of inertia and kinetic energy? What's the expression of that?
Speed, being sedentary, hot, cold.
Oh, okay.
Even emotions, happy, sad, even conjecture, I'm at peace, I'm ill.
It almost brings in the attitude of the mind.
Well, no, the mind is what gauges how you're doing.
Oh, and
it's
how you're doing is the inertia and kinetic energy. But that's a two-way process, because you could subjectivize how you're doing, you know?
Absolutely. But you do.
All right,
that's
so
the mind.
That's the mind fact. So back to what you're saying somewhere is the non-physical starts to touch and be manifested in the physical as kinetic energy or inertia.
It's the example of how it shows up.
Mm.
It's how they tell that you're still alive.
That's why people are affected by other people's actions. They feel.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And that's the non-physical plugging in to the physical from the largeness.
Yeah, when people say you hurt my feelings, they're addressing the non-physical
They're talking all of the feeling place that attaches them. But other people then would say, well, you didn't, I'm so sorry I stepped on your foot. No, it's okay, I didn't feel a thing. Or you didn't step on my foot. I'm not going to let you close enough to hurt me.
Well, that's a flip, but it started off when the person said, you hurt my feelings, and the other guy said, oh, I'm sorry. No, you didn't hurt my feelings. That's the assertion of individualness in relation to the collective non-physical.
Separates you from being judged by the overlaying.
Right. Is that the mind doing that?
It's the mind's application. It's the mind's application, but it's not the mind's fault.
Right. See, you've got the non-physical as a collective. Once you start getting in the physical, there's a sensation of being an individual, and the mind kind of supports that in relation to the non-physical collective.
But then duality kicks in, and you go, wait, every human has the same amount of time. No, they don't. They last different numbers of days.
Yeah.
No. We're saying that every human on the planet that's alive, they have the same amount of time. Okay? That day. They have 24 hours a day or whatever. And we go, well, no, not so much, because some humans can get a ton of stuff done in an hour, and some people can't get nothing done in an hour, and that's not the same application of time. Well, no, see, it's the sameness. You have the consciousness, the collective consciousness, that's saying all men are equal, and then you have the individual saying, well, I'm glad I'm more equal than they are.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm more equal than she is.
Mm.
I'm glad I don't have that issue.
Right.
Okay. So then you twist that back around from the collective side of non-physical, and then it becomes the application of the distance between the physical and the non-physical,
which is both you.
You're both you.
Yeah, there's the you that's an individual and the you that's the collective.
That's correct.
And it's A is to B, is C is to D all the time, jumping around in ratios, right?
And the ratios are gauged by the judging contest of the labyrinth of the mind.
Right.
And who's the judge? You are. Well, how do you judge? Not so well.
Right, but here's an issue. So the mind usually is judging based on matter, cultural input. But they probably overlaps a bit into the non-physical.
Absolutely it does, because there's things that show up that can't be that are.
Right, so
there's things that show up that can't be that are.
Right, so the way the ionic field holds together the electron, proton, neutron sounds a bit like the mind, if you understand the mind is in the interval between modulating the cultural conditioning of the physical and leaking in and responding to non-physical. That's
so
sort of what the ion is, sort of?
Well, you're not going to catch us like that. Let's say it like this. If the labyrinth of the mind, if you could remove the walls of the labyrinth, then you would be able to see clearly from one side of the mind to the other side of the mind.
Mm.
And there would be no choice or nebulous disconnection of being lost.
Is that what happens when you're dead, when you've transitioned?
No, it is not.
Yeah, there's no mind. But if within the physical,
correct.
If you could take away the wall, is that reflected in the role of the ion at the basic cellular structure?
And also it would give you clear-sightedness, so there would be still be contrast because you'd still be in your confines of a labyrinth. It'd just be four square walls rather than a whole bunch of little rat trails where the rat's trying to find the cheese through the maze. It takes the amazement out of the maze.
Right. So if you remove the ion, the something could see why the electron's bouncing.
If you remove the walls from the maze of the mind, you'd still have physical, you'd still have non-physical, and you'd have a mind, but it wouldn't be a labyrinth. You'd be able to clearly see all views and directions within your beingness.
Can you do that?
You damn sure can, and that's when heaven's going to show up on Earth.
When you remove the walls of your mind.
Absolutely, because then guess what? For the first time ever, you don't have to wonder, well, if I turn right, where will I go? Well, I'll go this way because I've done this before, and if I go this way, I'm the rat and I get the cheese. Well, then they change it, and then it can't go that way. Then it's lost. And then, well, what if I eat a Snicker bar? What if I don't eat a Snicker bar? Blah, 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 blah. All these choices and twistings that you wind through, if you knew the outcome, that you're going to be just as whole with a Snicker bar or without a Snicker bar, then you could follow the choice of what your preference to prefer would be. And without the maze, then you would be able to not wonder or question. You would know. I think I know.
Okay. So
this is very good, Bob.
Hold it. Is the ion? Compliments later. The ion. Can we talk about the ion as a metaphor of what you're describing about the walls removed from the mind? Do I even bring the ion into it?
Yes, you certainly can, because it's the field that you're using to judge how these molecular atoms are connected together, the structure.
Okay, so you remove the walls of the mind, and that would affect the field of the ion.
It would take the amazement out of the maze.
And what would it take out of the ion?
Nothing.
But
it would open up your view. You wouldn't be limited by the question. You wouldn't be talking to non-physical, wondering if it was really non-physical, or if it really was, or if you were God, or if you had power. Or if
not. So is it useful to bring in the ion in this conversation?
Certainly it is. It's the field by which you're trying to open up your view.
Okay, so...
That's why we were poking at the view earlier.
Then we come to the... To the question of how do you remove the walls of your mind? You're back to the conundrum.
Field of perspective.
How do you remove the walls of your mind?
By very simply attaching as much significance to your non-physical part as you do your physical part.
Oh, okay.
Let's finish it.
Yeah.
By opening up your mind to, what is it they say on Fringe, innumerable impossibilities.
Opening up your mind to that.
Yeah, that there is help, that there is a universe you're the center of, that you are in charge of it, that you are all-powerful, all-knowing.
But that requires at first a belief. You start believing it.
Because the evidence becomes so fractured, the empirical evidence becomes so fractured that you have no choice but to at least acknowledge it.
And that's where the faith comes in, what they call it.
Well, no, that's where science can't prove that it isn't.
Right.
It doesn't take faith to believe what science can't disprove.
Yeah, you believe yourself into the cracking the walls of your mind.
And that's done by thought, and that takes place in where? The mind.
And where's antimatter in the middle of that?
It is the opposing view that makes the black hole the anomaly that you can't get past, the event horizon that you can never arrive to.
Okay, so antimatter is something that's engaged in this process of believing yourself to remove the walls of your mind. Antimatter is engaged in that? It's involved?
It's the opposite.
It's saying, nah, you can't do
right,
it.
Right.
You're saying you can't do it.
Correct. But the point of this whole
and you process, have to wrestle with that. You have to.
Well, you don't have to, but many do.
Yeah, you don't have to. You've got to figure out how to ignore it without ignoring it and all that.
Then answers will be questioned.
And what it is it's when you know that there's the ionic field that immediately expands your view of the three
perspective.
Neutron,
yeah.
Proton, and electron, it gives you that space of distance, the detachment.
Right. Now, most people, the average person who's got a basic high school education or college, knows there's a neutrons, electrons, and protons, right? I don't know if the kids know about the ion. Maybe they teach it in school.
They do more than the humans.
More than the parents. See, how about what the average person thinks? I don't know people talking about the ion, Carol, but I haven't talked to people, and I'm not talking to young kids, but let's say the young kids might know about the ion, but adding ion to the thing is a new factor for you, right, Carol? And that's a metaphor of ion showing up, and it's being called on to complete the triad, to complete the meaning of the electron, proton, and neutron.
That's what I see. The metaphor
of you showing up on, you're showing up now because the ion is the marginalized particle that people haven't been told much about. Do you agree with that metaphor?
They have been. They just don't call it that. What do they call it? The age of Aquarius, the flower children,
That's what they call the ion.
Well, that's what allows the ion to be empirically referenced.
The punk rockers.
You can have hippies. How did hippies decide that they wanted to be hipsters? Well, that's the ionic field that allowed the overlapping.
Right.
That was not bad or wrong or outside of normal.
The ionic field, as you're saying it, is the factor of what McLuhan meant by tactility. Ion is the tactile. The tactile is a field.
It's the sameness of tactility.
Yeah.
Now, that's good. Here we go. I have this pain, and this pain shows up over and over and over, and other people have the same pain, so therefore you have bursitis. That's the ionic field that allows the overlapping of even lack of ease.
You mean the overlapping where two people have the sameness? The same symptoms in
the ionic field will give a doctor a heads up that you have the flu or a cold or cancer or tumor.
He doesn't think about it as a tactile field. He just says, you've got the same symptoms as that person.
I've only looked at the most disconnected ones, so the most disconnected ones have this, and when they have this, it's that.
Yeah, but that's how we got into this. This comes back to your opening point. Where does individual consciousness overlap with the general sharedness of some idea that everybody kind of agrees is happening? Do you know what I mean? Like time. The idea there's time is something everybody thinks is there. And why? You're just saying that the ionic field is what makes the doctor see bursitis in two people. That is answering slightly my question about what the heck is it that goes from individual subjectivity where everybody's the center of the universe and they're all seeing a different thing, yet they kind of agree a bit. That's through the ionic field?
Correct.
Then ion can be appropriate metaphor for creating a new religion past Templardom and Christendom, because ion is pointing out the field aspect, the tactile aspect, and then elaborating in these terms and these topics as you did tonight.
The reason, the point of this conversation, again, you've heard this, but let's do it one more time, that this is there's something new that's just bubbling.
Say it.
All right. Could you spell the word nowhere?
Nowhere.
Okay. And if you put a space in
now
there,
here.
Yeah, now that's here. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You say, now here.
I know Gerd Stern. I mean, we play with that division a lot. Erewhon, the book by Samuel Butler, is now here backwards. Nowhere, now here. We've done a lot of that in the McLuhan School, but that's why it's not so surprising to me.
Well, I understand that, but it is
You develop it. Develop it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The nowhere.
Yeah.
Now here.
Yeah.
Is the anomaly that you spend all day, every day, of answering of where are we?
Right.
We, not me. Well, not where am I? Well, we're now here. Well, that's nowhere. Well, that nowhere is the example that you're trying to bring the anomaly closer to. We're nowhere close to where we should be.
We're still now here.
Exactly. And that answering of that question becomes how skewed your labyrinth is. See, if
the labyrinth is a tactile, is an ionic field, in a way.
No.
The field between now, here, and nowhere, or the dialectic, the interplay.
That's just the difference between you and you.
That's another way of saying it. Now, here, and nowhere.
But if you could remove the amazement of the maze,
mm-hmm.
if the labyrinth of your mind,
yeah.
if you could take the maze out of the labyrinth of your mind,
right.
then you would clearly see where you are. You would clearly see where your non-physical are. And then the distance between those could be gained inclusively because you'd see the perspective of where your physical is and where your non-physical is. Then you wouldn't have all these questions of can I do it, is it okay, will they kill me, can they kill me, am I good, am I bad, can we do it, yes we can.
Many people have arrived at that perception or perspective.
And if they have, that's the key that Thoth was trying to get you into place with your emerald tablets of saying, if you could get rid of the amazement, the maze,
yeah.
then guess what? It's not a hard journey. Life is not difficult. You aren't confounded every single moment of your every single day of nowhere that you're now here. And if you can figure out your perspective of your GPS for your balloons are of where now here is, then nowhere becomes quite an anomaly. And if it's an anomaly, then if you're not squandered by the perspective or the energy that it takes to understand that the electrons are not bound within this spherical plane. So once you understand that, parallel worlds, multifaceted worlds, become as easy as pie. Well, pie sometimes isn't easy, but pie is easy. It's easy as pie. You just put it in the pot and bake
yeah.
it
so,
out of pie.
So what, you've integrated, like, Rai, the definition of Rai was that Aware, Cosmo Aware talked about, was the original awe, A-W-E, and so the word author was a subset of awe. So the principalities were built on awe or amazing,
mm-hmm.
Is stunning. And that was McLuhan meant the medium is a message. The environment stuns you. You are shaped by it. And he tries to get you to see through it. You're completing that by pointing out that we get rid of the amazement in the maze. And the amazement is the awe principle. You're stunned by where you are.
And you wouldn't be stunned if you could see all the perspectives and the choices of how it's going to come out.
Right. So
you wouldn't be stunned. That's good.
Say that again. If
there was no amazement, if there was no maze, you wouldn't be stunned by your perspective of the distance between you and you. But right now you're just amazed. You are amazed.
Right.
That means riddled. That means you can't figure it out. That means that it's, if you do figure it out, you're just surprised beyond your knowing. Well, if you know, then you're no longer surprised beyond your knowing.
Yeah, but part of the ability to do that, getting beyond your amazement, is to know that once you think you've arrived, it's going to change again and you'll be re-amazed. So you catch on to the tactile fluidity of the process, and then you're not...
But it doesn't have to be tactility. There is fluidity, but it doesn't, within the ionic field, there doesn't have to be. There can just... You do this, you're the best one probably on the planet, Bob, even better than all, better than JW even. And we think a lot of him because he knows who he is. But you do it better than most all because you won't even embrace it long enough to notice your perspective that you've calculated that's within your beingness or knowingness of accepting something. Because you figure, the time I take the time and energy to figure something out, it'll be all old hat.
Right.
That'll
now, that's what I was trying
tool.
To say, that I can move rapidly, so to speak, and I know I'm going to be re-amazed, but I can erase it pretty quickly and then get ready for the next amazement, the next moment, the next now, and then ignore that.
We don't have a problem with the labyrinth itself, but what if the walls weren't quite so high? What if your field of vision wasn't askewed?
Yeah.
Maybe if it was like a half fence. You have to stay within these parameters, but if you could see over the wall, here at the wall,
yeah.
here at the wall, if you could say here at the wall and see over it, then guess what? You'd say, okay, if I take, I'm going in this sort of geographic direction, so if I keep taking a left-hand turn, and then if I, every time I take a left, I take a right, it's going to move me to that corner because that's where the cheese is, then you just seamlessly stroll along the way, going in the direction that you are trying to achieve, which if you're the rat in the maze, it's to get the cheese. And if you could lower the wall, if you could take your field of perspective or raise your eye level within this ionic field, then guess what? You don't get caught with your pants down. You know the outcome. You know the flow. You know the process. And once you know that process, you can still have all the contrasting feelings of life, because you want the contrast. That's how you create. But you don't have to be so buried by it.
Yeah, you never get done. You never get rid of the wall and the continuous amazement. But you're really good at erasing it pretty quickly and
or
demanding
staying above it.
Seeing above it, and you say, okay, reality, bring more on. Oh, I can handle
that. That's an ascended being, one who can see over the wall.
Right, and knows that you never totally get over the wall. And so we, every day, do our day, then we interact with Ion, and interacting with Ion exercises us seeing through or over the wall, and that's a metaphor for if we didn't have Ion, we might have another means to exercise ourselves, but
well,
you constantly wonder,
okay, we're now here, but that's nowhere. We're
right.
No closer to here than we were when we were there. Well, we were there, but now we're
and
here.
And if you relax and allow in that process, which I do, so
then
I'm
you
always
don't notice.
I'm always erasing the wall. And
then you don't notice.
And I don't notice.
You don't. No, no, you don't erase the wall. You just don't mind where you are in that perspective.
Right.
Relax and allow where you are. So I'm perfectly happy. You were perfectly happy in New York, and you're perfectly happy in Maui.
Right. So
you didn't know the difference other than Carolyn moved, and you thought you might better go with her.
Yeah, it was more convenient. I didn't have to put on so many shoes or clothes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's fun.
But
that's
you didn't
fun.
Know that until you got here.
Well,
that's
exactly right. I enjoyed the amazement part here. Oh, this is great. You know,
and you enjoy it, and you enjoy it, and you enjoy it so much so that relaxing allowing allows a new confidence in your place of knowing. I think I know.
Yeah, that helped Ion happen.
Of course.
Yeah, so the...
And
yeah.
that activation is the ascension process that we're trying to get the physical meat sack, the non-physical consciousness, and the labyrinth of the mind not to be offended or raise your awareness, cosmic or otherwise, to the degree that you can see the full perspective of where you are and where you're going and the distance between you and you. Then, guess what? Everything becomes your oyster. You can then find the pearl every single time.
Right, in my particular case, I treed it. I didn't, nah, we're going, okay, let's go to Maui. Nah, well, it might be different, I don't know. And I get here, and then I enjoy the difference. And
right.
Then I, nah, that, nah, so we want more, and then more comes. So that's the ascension process.
Correct. And once you get there, then you're not wondering, well, did we mess up? Are we supposed to write a book? Are we not supposed to write a book? Are people going to buy this? Or... do we want a website? What kind of website? Well, what do we have to do for people to notice? And if we're going to write the blog of the future now, what does it have to be for people to actually engage it? And how much can we do to get them into the place where they'll take it on and this becomes part of their beingness so much so that they would actually be interested in this particular format in which we're laying it out? Do we have to lay it out a different way? And then if we decide to go that way, which words do we have to buy from Google to make this so that force people into a place of recognizing that this will help them and they'll be happy if they'll ever figure this part out? And see, even after you figure it all out and get it developed, then you come back and say, well, then how do I do it better? How do I do it more efficiently? How can I type the same number of words and reach 10,000 more people rather than having to do the same words 10,000 times?
Mm.
Okay? And that's what you call efficiency. But it's only allowing yourself to come to this place where people stand in amazement and go, wow, you know, that chick looks about 30 and she's 112. What's she got going on here?
Yeah.
There must be something to this, and I don't really care what she says. I just want to eat what she's eating and do what she's doing, because apparently
that's the closest way I can understand of how to imitate her to get there.
Exactly. Apparently, I'm not offended by the outcome that she's embraced.
Yeah.
Apparently, I am not offended by the outcome that she has embraced.
Yeah.
Now, does that make her all-knowing and being and seeing? No, she has questions, she has contrast, she figures it out, she spins it up and makes pate most days, okay? And that's okay, fine. But in that process, she's constantly redefining that level of degree of perfection to make the recipe of life come out the way she wants it to come out, the way she wants it to come out. Maybe there's a different application. Maybe we want it more like mayonnaise or less like mayonnaise or a different degree if we play and adjust with the frequency of the recipe. Now, once that happens, and there's the non-physical part. We're talking about Carolyn, if you haven't figured this out yet.
Yeah.
There's the non-physical part of Carolyn is resonating at a different level. She has a different kind of client than she used to have.
Hmm.
They used to, she'd only get those that are on the edge of hospice, that there's no way, that non-physical couldn't even help them because of where they are, and those were her lot. Well, then she redefined what she wanted, and she could peep over the wall, and she's starting to remember that whole process, and then different clients are showing up in her experience. And that was felt pleasurable to her. And it's kind of like, cool, okay, I can go with this. I like this. Yeah, I'll have a little more. Yes, I'll have a little more. Yes, I'll have a little more. But you don't start off with a great big vat of that because you don't know how you're going to digest it. So you limit that flow based on your comfort level of achievement. But that's what you'd like to reference it as. So it makes it very simple and very easy that you don't need $100 million to make your point. You can make your point with where you are.
Right.
And they'll show up. They just will. And you just keep doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is what you're going to do with $100 million or without $100 million. The same. When it's the same, then it doesn't make any difference. But when it doesn't make any difference, they'll build a road to you and have it go nowhere else but to you. Well, that's the ascension process that we've sort of developed, and coming to a place where we need real, live, living, physical, breathing examples of how you attach the physical meat sack, the non-physical part, through the unamazing labyrinth of the mind. The unamazing labyrinth of the mind. When the labyrinth of your mind has less amazement, then you have a higher degree of a confidence to proceed in the pathways that you sojourn.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, is there, we talked about the four and the fiveness, the four and the fiveness a little while ago. So you've got the four relations, the electron, proton, neutron, and the ion. Is there a new particle or something you would name that comes in as you ascend? Is there a fifth element, a fifth particle? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is it the axion?
No. That's a good word, but it's not.
Yeah.
What did Thoth call it? They called it an ascended, the ascension, the ascended man.
So maybe become a capital E for electron, a capital N for neutron, capital I for capital
T. Yeah, but
P
those bodies don't, no, you wouldn't notice it that way. You would only have a whole U and a whole U.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have that image.
U.
You wouldn't have that image up here. You wouldn't use the particulate image.
That is correct, but you also wouldn't have that individual. Once you're ascended capital M-A-N, then you would notice that the particulate field is being individualized.
Yeah.
You'd realize that those electrons that are constantly jumping also take the nucleus in its retrospect. So therefore, if it's in retrospect, then the world that you're in right now may have be very different than the world you're in nowhere.
Right. Did you say the electron takes the nucleus or the neutron with it?
It takes all of it with it.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's anomalous.
When it jumps, it takes it all with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's paint a picture this way, and this looks good. And I don't care if you like this one or not. It's
yeah.
the way it is.
You like it.
The neutron, the center, the nucleus
yeah.
of the cell, if the electron can disappear and both can inhabit the same time space,
mm-hmm.
then therefore the nucleus of that cell must also be able to be dividable within two parallel realities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... What'd you say?
It has to.
Has to be dividable within two parallel. That's the two snowballs that Nina shows in Fringe, in a way.
From a cellular level.
Yeah.
But if that's the case,
yeah.
if that's the case, if one cell is two worlds, or if an electron, which is by definition the part that goes around the nucleus of a cell, that's where you had to figure out how to do it to split an atom.
Yeah.
And when you did that, you caused all kinds of energy flow
yeah.
from the splitting of a single atom in a particular field. Well, that's because those two electrons can inhabit the same space or neither space. They jump. Well, if that's the case, then that nuclei has to also, if it's standard, then it has to be representative of multi-worlds.
Right.
Otherwise, those electrons can't imbibe the same space in the same year-time continuum or be eliminated for they both to disappear or completely disappear from the nucleus of an atom.
Yeah, so cell division is an approximation of what goes on, which you've explained.
So cell division is replicating itself. It's the replication.
Right, and this dividing the nucleus so be both worlds with the electrons and drag it to the other world, that is not represented by the replication division.
That is exactly correct, and very good, Bob, because that's what would decide how thick the walls of your labyrinth are. Good. Well, that's very good.
Right, but you said that. Now, what is that that would decide? I made a whole statement, but what is it that would decide how thick your walls were? We were talking about the cell replication versus
yes,
the nucleus.
The dividing of nucleus, cell division.
Yes. So which of those two is the that which makes the difference?
The cell division. That was the only that.
The cell division meaning the replication or the both kinds?
No. Cell division is not replicating. Cell division is cells dividing. And that replication
yeah.
is what can determine the thickness. Your wall,
right.
of the labyrinth of your mind.
And that's not connected to the process of the nucleus being divided to cover the electron jumping.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's correct. It doesn't undo parallelism.
Okay. What? The cell duplication division does not undo.
Right.
Yeah. See, we're talking about two things. We have to indicate which one you're indicating when you go to the next sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
So the thing is, all this is irrelevant if the person becomes ascended. And so the whole model...
Well, no, they won't ascend until they can have the empirical proof of the proof in the pudding that it is.
Right.
No. You're going to prove to me that there's ESP, or even if I've got it, I'm not going to have it.
Right, but I'm just saying this image of the electron, of the atom that we're talking about, that's
yes.
a shared image of what the mind doesn't have to have that. Or why are we? Why do people agree that matter is made up of that?
The same reason that they didn't understand there was antimatter until it was.
Yeah, they didn't know this is the way it was until it showed up, until it was defined. But why?
So they couldn't disprove it.
Yeah, but why did minds agree? They did not have this image
of consciousness. The consciousness within their beingness. They used their power to divisively divide themselves from their power.
through developing technologies, because they couldn't.
But see, technology is what put everybody tweeting at the same time, and Facebook on the same
date,
and MySpace on the same RSpace.
Yeah.
And that over the technology actually corralled it back around to put everybody back to it. You mean everyone has genitalia? Yes. Would you like to see mine? Yes. And I'm so excited about it that that makes me want to look at mine. And then I notice mine's different than yours, but it's still genitalia. Isn't that interesting? Then you come to a place where that becomes such a place that now even sexuality has no modesty.
Right.
Now it's no big deal. And so the next sex site will be the my sexy big toe, and you have a big toe website where you can look at other people's big toe and just be aroused from the looking at someone else's big toe.
Okay,
makes about as much sense as the size of the genitalia.
Yeah, in Shakespeare's era, they did not have the image of the neutron, proton, and nucleus, electron.
But the concept they most certainly did. That's where the fate. That's what William Shakespeare and Chaucer and T.S. Eliot and all those in that swirling spin came into the place of even developing fatalism.
Right, there was always the expression of the tensions of consciousness. Okay, so what?
Degrees of separation, we'd call that.
All right.
But, okay.
So then what? Where did we get the image of the electron? That we got it from some microscope or whatever technology J.J. Thompson had in the 19th century.
They got it from they put a corn grain in the earth. They would sacrifice it to die, and in its death, new life would spring up eternal from it, and you would get a multiple, not just. You put one corn grain in the field, and it comes up a corn stalk. Well, that won't help. You got to have more than one for them to pollinate. But then, when you get the ears of corn, each ear of corn off of that one corn stalk has, you know, 100 or plus of corn, individual corn seeds that you get much more out of it than you put into it. And you realize that there had to be some anomaly that you had a increase in what you put in the ground and what you got out. Because otherwise, if you just put one in the ground and just got one out, you'd never make any more than that one. Because every time you'd make more, you'd have to have the one that you had made from the last time for the next time.
Okay, so what's that going to do with Thompson coming up with the idea or image of the electron?
Well, it was the empirical reference that proved that there had to be some dynamic that allowed this replication of these different particulate fields that allowed that anomaly to be understood.
Right. So what one was they think was replicated in the 19th century that evoked the image of the electron? Or the theory?
We have no idea.
See, that's what I'm wondering, like, the image we have, you say the base, my body's made up of the cell, and that's that. They certainly did not have that notion, those images, 400 years ago.
They certainly did, because they looked at what happened when they reaped and sowed.
And what did they see happen?
They put one seed in the ground, and they got 10,000 out of each seed.
Oh, okay, so the concept of the electron led to some kind of multiplication idea?
They did. They watched a tree. They'd plant a tree.
Electron. Are you saying that Thompson comes up with the theory of the electron and says, there's going to be a lot more of them. They're going to make so much energy, we'll have a big bomb. Is that what you're talking about?
They noticed empirically 400 years ago that if there was one tree, okay, they cut all the trees down, and there's one tree that grows, and then there's a conifer, if you would like to use that. It doesn't matter what kind. It can be a
oak. Doesn't matter. Go ahead. If you have this tree.
The next thing you know, if you leave that the hell alone, do take no action regarding it, and leave it alone, it won't be many moons until you'll have an entire forest of that same kind of tree.
Now, what's that got to do with the Thompson coming up with theory that matter was based on an electron or something?
Same reason that the electron field is replicatable, duplicatable from a multiplication process, that there had to be individual cellular structure that had to be divisible by itself. If it wasn't divisible by itself, it couldn't split to make more.
Okay, so how did they get into that idea? Why didn't they just accept the corn idea 400 years ago? Why did we...
Well, they did.
Well, 400 years later, we don't talk about the corn thing. We talk about electrons and neutrons. Why do we do that?
Well, because you'd like...
Because our structures have changed.
They most certainly have not.
Well, they didn't have.
You got extra genitalia that you didn't.
No. If you didn't, what about the TV body and the chip body? So.
Well, then, how's that working for you, Bob?
Working great for everybody. Keeping us through the depression. It's keeping the economy going.
Is it? Is it going?
Yeah, it's still.
Oh well, then okay. Well,
yeah, it's still going.
So what you're saying is there's as much money now as there was much money as there was 400 years ago.
No, I'm saying there is communication carries on. Someone today on the beach was saying...
Well, if it carries on, then it was carrying on before.
Someone at the beach was saying today, well Bob, the economy is like a deck of cards. It could collapse any moment. I said, yeah, but it hasn't yet. It ain't going to collapse. No. And he said,
it is.
It's going to collapse. Well, it hasn't. When's it going to do it? I don't know.
Deck of cards are solid. They're close together. House of cards, they're divided. And so any little puff of wind easily
makes
them
back into the form of a deck. Did I say deck of cards? Okay, well, I meant a house of cards. Anyways, he says the house of cards is very fragile. It's going to fall. I don't know why it hasn't fallen yet. And I said, well, as long as we keep typing, it won't fall. And he didn't know whether that was true or not. And nobody knows.
Well, that's because 400 years ago, they weren't so tangled up with their time.
Oh, well, we got more bodies now, see? So it takes
more time to count them?
Look, obviously technology came in the 19th century. The voltaic cell was invented and the telegraph and all these things made someone think that there might be an electron idea. I think his name was Thompson. And then that led into the 20th century. Those ideas were evoked by new inventions that happened.
Well, but the new inventions were based upon the old empirically provable references.
Yeah.
And we're saying there's no difference now than there's no difference now than there was 400 years ago. You just have bigger words and you have something too tight.
Okay, so what is it?
They in those days just knew. They didn't have to have the Wikipedia. They just knew.
See, you're bringing in some psychological quality. Psychological quality, subjective quality, which is part of what goes on in human things, but you're ignoring the changes on the surface.
What are the changes?
Go to the Wikipedia we go to the Wikipedia.
Yeah, you go to the Wikipedia, which is no difference than just making up your own crap and thinking, well, I think this is right, so it's right. Because that's what the Wikipedia is. It's an individual collective where people can say, no. Human Bob, can go into that Wikipedia and change it to make it say anything you want to say.
Well, happened to me today.
How is that different than it was 400 years ago when they said the Earth is flat and it was flat, okay?
How they did it? Because they had their argument in the little pub and then they went back to the farm and milked the cow or went to sleep or bawled the maid. You know, the thing is, they just had that. But we can go home with the same issues and start typing and wiki and MySpacing and calling and watching TV and other things. You know, it's a different range of activities goes on.
So they no longer bawl the maid?
Yeah, they just bawl their neighbor and everybody else or just take Viagra and have a group masturbation or something. You know, it's all different kinds of expressions. They actually they got more places to hide now.
But yet, there's nowhere to hide.
Oh, that's another aspect. That's the chip body is totally...
Our point is, we would ask you, finally, are you better now than you were then? And we say, from our place of looking, we can't tell the difference.
Well, that's probably true on the level of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those relationships, they're still the same human...
Good afternoon.
Human incompletion. Good afternoon. Someone just walked through you. There's the same spiritual problem, you could say, or the condition
there's
of incompletion.
Don't disagree
with the words. I'm trying to, relax now. There's no problem. That solves the fact you got a spiritual problem. But
It's the same.
Yes, but on the surface... The collective organism makes up new environments.
But the new environments that are being made up are no different than a Hollywood version of a good screenplay. And that creation is fuller. It's a bigger thing. Look, the Hansel and Gretel was a great big deal not so terrible long ago. Well, now all of a sudden Hansel and Gretel's turned into werewolves and Twilights and all these different.
No, I think you said there's no difference between the screenplay and the Hollywood treatment. There is a difference between the little manuscript and then the movie. Okay, it's a different experience.
Well.
Okay. Now, does it maybe solve the drama that the viewer has personally about what they're doing with their being? No, but it's a surface world of language. It's a different kind of language interaction. Technology is being linguistic. So
in the linguistics, they didn't understand their ancient Samaritan Hebrew Lord any more than they understand the English that they change at the moment's second notice.
Yeah, you're monitoring the understanding of humans, but humans come here to mix it up. They don't care whether they understand or not because they're here to mix it up and have variety.
Any more than they did 400 years ago.
Yes, but they do it differently now, and that's where the image of the electron came.
Well, different does not make it more complete.
No, not saying it's more complete. They never get
good.
It done. What is it? But it's always enough for humans.
Yes.
The pain is always enough.
It's all they've got. But
it's all they've got. They'll deny that they get. They will not allow any more to enter their reality on the spiritual level or the completion level.
No, on the physical level.
On the physical level. But they will allow themselves to experience other, quote, physical things like movies, TVs, cars, and swimming pools, and condos, and yachts.
Because technology made more time.
And you mean the notion of time that you don't like? Do you mean the notion of time you don't like?
We don't have to like it if there isn't any. So whether we like it or not,
okay,
I'll
forget that. The time concept you're always saying we're screwed up on. You don't like
well,
it or don't
the
like
time,
it. Well, is that what you said? Are you referring to that? Yes, we've piled on the false premise of time more and more. Correct. That's what you're saying.
So that now you don't have time to make time.
Yeah, but that's because we're doing a lot of things in the within the time.
Well, what are you really doing?
We're tweeting,
you
we're chipping, we're driving the car.
You go
to the beach, they got their Kindles, they eat their sticker bars, they're reading the Kindle, they're answering the phone, they're going in the water, they're running back out.
Okay. Now, 400 years ago, you woke up, you had your functioning, you had to figure out...
Yeah, you couldn't read, you didn't read a Kindle or anything.
Anything to read.
Yeah, you didn't read, right?
Sorry, didn't have to.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now you're not reading, now you're just OMG,
so you're saying the person gets up,
Am I going to starve to death?
You're saying the person who woke up 400 years ago spends his energy of his body in perception that day, and it's the same amount of energy expenditure, even though he's not doing as much. He is maybe looking at the trees and birds more or something. Equally.
Oh, that's all there was to do 400 years
ago. So I see someone on the beach reading their Kindle. It's the same as someone 400 years ago walking on the little pathway and looking at birds and in the sunlight and all that.
And allowing their mind to have wonderful, marvelous thought processes of talking to the birds.
Right.
Or having communication with their spiritualness.
Well, you seem to be...
Or allowing dynamics, allowing... Oh, there's two people using it.
Yeah, no, you've said your point. Now it's my turn again. So you seem to favor that form of human dispensation of energy, that they are allowing themselves to have different experiences. Within their subjectivity, within their creativity of their parallel world traveling or bird multiplication.
So there's more creativity or less creativity now than 400 years ago?
You're asking me if there's more or less. I don't think that can be measured. There certainly is.
Why?
Okay.
If it's better now than it was then, that's able to be measured. Why is this not?
Well, no, it's different. It's more complex. See, here's the issue. I'm trying to figure out what is the general consensus and then an indication of that. Why does everybody agree on the model of the electron that we have today rather than just walking among the birds 400 years ago and having an image of God or something that a local church provided? That was their centering image or icon. The difference in images is caused by technology. So there's that. Now, you're bringing the other point. How are humans doing with this? Well, they never did anything. That guy's walking along in the woods 400 years ago and enjoying it. He's still an unascended person. He's just amazed at the physical environment. Today, we're amazed at our four bodies. They're in, from your perspective.
Baffled by it.
The bafflement of the amazement, that's still there, okay? But I was asking the clinical question about why do people have a shared environment, a shared image? Why do they agree on the electron? The only reason they have the electron now image, that image, is because of the technologies that evoked that in the 19th century. Evoked a different kind of thinking and then imaging. So that, and then that's within the question of what the hell is the shared thing that we have?
The non-physical part, the collectiveness that can allow human creators to give notice just like they did 400 years ago, Bob.
To give notice to what?
That there was one oak tree and now there's 1,000 oak trees. What happened?
Oh, okay. So that
the empirical references are absolutely the same. Instead of using climbing up on a hill and looking at the vastness of it, they're looking at an electron microscope, and in a dot, they're looking at thousands
at the vastness of it, the same vastness.
Right, it's exactly the same, and they're talking about it or not.
Well, it's the
they're
same sensation
it or not.
The same thought effect. The same
and
thought, A-F-F-E, oh, I'm amazed, look how far I can see 400 years ago. And then the guy looks in a little microscope in a little cubicle room, and he's, wow, I'm amazed at how much I can see in my microscope. Right? So it's the same amazement. Now, Ion is saying, hey, don't get carried away that you're any better, because Ion's saying both of those situations, 400 years ago and now, are subject to amazement, and Ion, non-physical, is trying to get you out of your amazement hypnosis.
Correct, because that maze confounds more than it confines you.
Yeah, and from that perspective, humans are always being amazed regardless of how much they got or how little they have. That's, I can agree that's an ongoing, what I would call astral body concern or the non-physical's concern.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that if we did get over our amazement, we'd have different technologies or we would have less involvement in those technologies.
Well, it wouldn't even matter. The creations would flow so vehemently that you would just be astounded.
Yeah, what would those creations be? Like, would it be
an
example of the steak showing up in Ion's in JW's home after he's come out of a session and it wasn't there, but he ate it and he doesn't know where it came from? That's a creation, right?
Exactly. That sounds like,
in other words, Ion is for us to manifest things, quote, magically more. It's our legacy, magical manifestation.
Yeah,
and you're more for that form of creativity.
Yeah. The magicalness is when you understand that you are as powerful as you are. You are where you are.
Right.
Well, you realized how powerful you are, that there was enough energy in the clipping of your little fingernails to operate your world as far as energy goes, consumed carbon footprint, whatever you want to call it, whatever Al's calling it today, you come to a place to where it makes all these technologies that you're tickled with almost like about as technologically advanced as someone picking their own nose.
Right.
See, it's not...
For the human condition is they're afraid to give up what they're amazed by to allow another kind of miraculous, what is it, the word from Fringe, impossible something, you know. The
Unlimited impossible.
Yeah, they're afraid, can I drop what I'm doing and allow this other state to manifest out of the blue? They kind of, it's hard for them to make that adjustment.
Well, it's not out of the blue, it's out of the oblivious.
Yeah, out of the oblivious. And so they're afraid to make that judgment, and as humans always say, humans don't are creatures of habit and don't want to change, or don't want to look at another way of manifestation. That's what you're always looking at. Non-physical watches humans forever arguing for their limitations.
Yes, and if that's what you want to do, that's wonderful. But don't come in here saying that it's all better now, because
Yeah, I honestly, no, it isn't. Okay, yeah, I can agree with that.
It isn't any better. Matter of fact, some would say, wait a minute, it's actually might even be less than.
Well, that's an interesting point. On the collective consensus where people seem to agree on a reality, they would say today we're as confused as they were 1,000 years ago, but we're killing the Earth. No, we're killing the Earth. But I would say, no, you're not killing the Earth. That would first you clear up that thing. But the consensus thinks it's worse today because we're killing the Earth. You know what I mean? That's where they think it's worse today on the environmental level.
Well, but...
But you don't agree with that. You would say it's worse today for another reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You've got more to confuse you. There's more amazing in the amazement of the labyrinth of your mind.
But you sit back and say, if you people want to amaze yourself and confuse that, we got no problem with that. But
we have no problem with it, but don't turn around and then question your own physicalness, question your own beingness because you don't understand where you are in perspective to where you are. They didn't do that 400 years ago. They said, well, we are where we are. They got that. There was no query of is there a God or not, and who God is.
Oh, I see. You're saying there's less.
They took it as is.
There's less concept. There may be a lot of religious cults and religious things going on as magazine and TV shows, but you're saying the real spiritual part of herself is quite lost compared to 400 years ago.
Absolutely. They were founded. They understood non-physical.
Yeah.
They understood what you call the laws of nature. They understood the dynamic of it, you know, this, if you, it's very difficult to maintain life living underwater when you're used to breathing.
Mm.
But humans today, they try to figure out ways to overdo that, and then they get crossways of it, and then they get croaked.
Yeah,
and that's just
they try to climb Mount Everest or something, yeah.
Well,
they think that's a spiritual enlightenment, though, that, I overcame it.
They overcame.
And you would say that's too much action oriented and missing the point.
Without alignment. That's exactly correct. Very good. So, and if all this contrast just brings you to the place where you have no choice but to, but then you go, wait a minute, I'm a human creator. Why would I want to move myself into a position where I have no choice? That seems quite foreign. It feels off.
Yeah, now Kant hasn't been
right
taken.
Or wrong. It just feels off to me somehow.
Right. Who? The person or to non-physical?
The non-physical has no fear.
Yeah, the person. You meant the person.
Yes.
I know Carolyn has been typing for the last half hour, 45 minutes. We haven't. It's not typable stuff, what we're saying.
Right.
Oh,
not
okay.
That long, though.
In other words, where the more I interact with Ion, it's less typable. You type what Ion says.
No. You guys are interacting a lot, but then it just sort of...
It's too much to type. It's too interactive.
No, it just wasn't as interesting.
You see, I'm lucky we have the tape recording because if it was relying on Carol's choice of what was going on, a lot would have been dropped.
Well, she figured out which they we were talking about, and that saved 1,000 words right there.
No, but we led into a lot of other insights through my own, whatever you call confusion.
I was just maintaining the innocence of WC.
WC, it's a new one. Water closet. Okay. So have we? How long have we been going here? I forgot to plug my computer in. There could be a damage here. Just a second. Uh-oh. I think we lost that one. We're at...
Must have been a sunspot.
2-9. And... No, it's the fact that it was already weak and I forgot to plug into it, so it probably died, but it'll come back up. But the good one is taping. Mine's weaker anyways. So 2 hours we've done.
Do you have any more clarity than you did? Was it?
I think that's what's an interesting effect of the... interacting with Ion, we kind of get a sense of the garble of our culture gets clarified. I mean, this whole Ion thing is clearer. And to maybe let's see if you agree. So the ionic field, do you think that is what I think I mean by tactility?
No.
It's the thing that it provides the context for the relationships between the electron and proton and neutron. Sort of, right? Is that approximately what the ion field does?
No.
It's okay. Can you say quickly or tersely what it does?
It's the field. The ionic field is the level playing ground that allows cellular structure to be.
Well, that's sort of what I mean by tactility, because tactility is the thing that integrates the sensory life. It's not a sense in itself.
But it also confounds it. This field allows it, never confounds.
Oh, okay. You see, tactility confounds things. Well, then that tactility is the fact
the contrast.
That, yeah, and the mind provides that. So tactility is the mind factor interacting.
Exactly, and that's why in non-physical you have no contrast, because you have no labyrinth to fight to get through to get
so
the cheese.
There's no tactility.
You got the cheese.
Yeah, tactility of the non-physical.
No tactility in there, and therefore there's no contrast, and therefore there's no creation. So
yeah, I got that.
If that's the goal, then yes. But why couldn't you? What we're proposing, however strange, is in your ascendedness, you can have creation and you can have heaven on earth as it is in heaven, and you can have choices. Sorry. Choices. You can have choices, and you can have directions that you like to engage, but they don't have to be so confounding that you forfeit your beingness in spite of yourself. That's where you come into the ascension process that allows heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Because if you can come to that place, then guess what happens? Then you can have heaven on earth, and you don't have to die.
Yeah, but it's the concept of tactility I was interested in at this point. So the mind is the tactile interface. Is the ionic field, the ion field, which provides a playing field, that's not what the mind does?
No, it's what gauges it or proves that it is or isn't.
The mind does that.
It
gauges or proves what is or isn't.
Yes.
So
it's that notion of permissibility.
Permissibility.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, just
notion so of permissibility.
Yes, yeah. Now, the word tactility for ion describes that function of the mind.
Yes, and we like the best word that we like that doesn't push against, it pushes against the least, is a notion of permissibility.
Right. Now, in the particles, electron, neutron, proton, and ion, is one of them reflecting the operation of the mind? I would say no, right? Since ionic is not the mind.
Right.
Ion's not the
right.
mind. So the
no.
Yeah, the mind is in a way.
No, we wouldn't. We certainly wouldn't want to engage that.
Right. So the mind is the thing that's responding to the model that modern physics offers.
The degrees of permissibility.
Yeah, in relation to that model.
Good.
So
that hasn't changed since your beginning.
Right.
The tactility is the same. You'd think in 400 years you'd have figured out a little more than you did, but you know less now than you did then.
Right.
Because you question less then than you question now.
That's right.
You ascended being. All you've done is forgotten all the basics of your spirituality that allowed you to just be and to relax and allow where you are and be happy in whatever state you're in, to confound yourself to such a place that you don't even know where you are. So now you're nowhere.
Right. And
when you're now here.
And
so you're talking about
we don't understand the role of the mind.
You've forgotten more of what reality is based on your technology that you created that confounded your very place of beingness. You're basically excluding yourself from yourself, which makes the distance between you and you more than it was.
Okay.
So you're living longer, but you're still committing the same suicide that you did before.
Well, we
understand. So you're living longer, and there's more of you. So there's a building place, and you have more and more and more creators. It's kind of like, well, we're screwed up as we can be, so let's add another billion people and see how we do. Okay, let's add another billion people. Okay, let's add another billion people.
Yeah,
okay.
we don't need to complain about that. You don't care
No, it's not a complaint. It's just an observation that if you can wrap yourself around it a little bit, you can go, well, yeah, why do we get so carried away with who the sitting president is?
Yeah, okay, but see, you say it's just an observation, but I think you're being a little critical.
It's delicious. It gives us something to play with. You wouldn't need us otherwise. You wouldn't engage us.
If we had it together.
Mm-hmm. If you were there, you'd know you already have your non-physical, so to have a conversation with yourself, they'll put you in the loony bin if you do that long enough or get caught at it.
Well, are we getting so screwed up that Ion decided to have the non-physical show up and communicate on a vast level that had never happened before?
You summoned it. You're the creator.
Yeah, I summoned that this is the only way we're going to get out of this mess. We're going to have to bring in a major non-physical manifestation to start waking people up.
And just so happened that coincided with the mass consciousness, saying, we need a solution.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Nothing so far has worked. We've based our life on time, and we've run out of it.
Yeah, now here's I don't want to stand by. I said to wake people up. That's not what we're doing. We're just inspiring them.
You'd have to acknowledge that they were in all went to sleep.
They even know what they're looking for.
They even know what they're missing.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They know what they're missing for. And so.
And they know what they're missing. They're just looking for the reason that they missed it. They know what they're lacking. They're just looking for a reason why they're lacking it.
Does Ion give them a reason?
We do.
When you also give them a solution, or in the sense that you might inspire them.
Absolutely. It undoes all these anomalies that they can't seem to understand, and it confounds them. Confine and confound. Well, then the liberality of, well, there's nothing you cannot know. Nothing that you cannot know. So everything is able to be known. That the world may know is why we are here. The only reason that we come forth or have to come forth or are forced to come forth and happily come forth is for that reactionary process that reminds the human creator that you are more than you'll ever acknowledge. You're already more than you'll ever acknowledge. And if you can come to that place, then you come into the power place of then you know all. That's what God is. Well, you're God. We're just trying to convince you how special you are.
Right. Now, wait a minute. We had Edgar Cayce. We had Cosmic Awareness. We had all kinds of mediums rampant.
And they spend as many minutes talking about their limitations as they did their super gifts.
Right. So I am suggesting that we have an opportunity to manifest the non-physical more, quote, efficiently or better without all the accoutrements.
Just allow it. Yeah, without all the dumbfounded lostness.
Yeah, but Ion is representing that.
The dumbfounded lostness?
No, representing the efficient way to do it by having JW not have to have elaborate things around him, paraphernalia to do, to slip in and allow Ion to come through.
Nobody told him that was impossible.
Yeah, real simple.
For him, it is this.
So
we like your world. Just three it. If you can't 3-2-1 it, then just go with Bob's world. Bob's world, just three it.
Did JW three it?
No.
No, he 3-2-1 it.
No, he's very defined. He's very defined. He sifts and calculates and stacks and navigates.
He 3-2-1s it.
Ponders it.
3-2-1s it? Is that 3-2-1?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's very careful to take the one thing that he's changed the most in since, if you'd say JW without AIonic experience and now, would be that he refuses to take any action. I mean, as far as getting up and to go pee. He will take no action now until he's aligned with it.
And he before that wasn't the case.
That's great. It was always just, we'll force it, push, make it so. Well, that make it so crap, that's he's done with that.
Okay, got that. So I'm done with the
good.
Ion is showing up after the run up the mountain, the attempt to do something by Edgar Cayce, by all the spiritual gurus and all the people who claimed to be activating the non-physical.
They certainly were.
But a good way to sum it is ion completes and therefore does it more efficiently than all the
previous
efforts.
Hopefully simply. So that Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus and those are not the exception, they become the standard.
Right, so...
That everyone can do this. This is not special to some spiritual gift or some geno species. It's in certain human creators.
But,
you all have this.
Yeah, but that's been long forgotten is what I am responding to.
Well, it wasn't 400 years ago.
I know, but lately it's been really... now we got the young ones coming in, and they're kind of... know this, or they're ready.
They're not having all this hooey. They're not having all
right,
this.
So they're actually on the way to ascension. They are part
they're
of
going back. They're going back to where they're undoing the printing press. Now it's OMG, what's the BFD?
Right, but, yeah, I get that.
They're undoing all this.
With the technology, but with the new technology, which further disappears them into the void.
Down to the point where you won't even have to tweet, you'll just think.
Yeah, and so that will be a further down the rabbit hole?
Nope, that'll be a greatness. It'll bring you back to where they got to 400 years ago.
Oh, okay. Now, wait a minute. You're saying that technology is providing a solution here because it's going to activate the kids.
Technology is untechnologizing. It's untechnologizing itself.
Oh, that's what I say. Yeah, the Android meme is disappearing, making itself like you're in, making it seem you're in charge.
Yeah, you are.
You've got this terrible problem now from Ion's observation level that people have really lost, but they are actually the solution showing up not just with Ion, but with the way the kids are responding.
Yes, because they came forth fresh, and there's a much larger gene pool now, so that you can confound yourself just completely if you want to, and that's just wonderful because in that confounding... You are confining your confounded state of lack.
What did you say, confounding?
Yes. Your confined state
of lack. Well, that sounds like more problems. And
no, it's wonderful.
Oh, that's the whatever post-information society you actually stumble into a breakthrough.
That you're forced to notion to come to the notion that relax and allow is the only thing that's ever going to work. So the sooner you figure that out, the better it's going to go for you. And the sooner you get to that base, then guess what? You'll still have what you'll create your contrast, because that's what you're down to now anyway. If you had no problems, you'd put yourself in a position where you'd make up a problem to be a problem.
Right. So are you saying that the younger people will be the greater fans of Ion? Or they don't need Ion?
They won't get duped into the place where they would not, where they would be mesmerized with non-physical. Non-physical will become normal.
Yeah, you hope they will be unmesmerized about the non-physical.
Well, that's right, because they are. They get it. They just get it.
So, Ion won't be necessary for them.
Well, but see, don't worry, because as they live a little while, then they're going to have the examples laid before them of how they're less than, and
then they'll get all confounded.
And you know, you're not the center of your universe, and don't worry, be careful, that'll kill you, well, you're going to die, so who said, and why, and all this kind of stuff. And then once they figure out all the diseases, and they run out of diseases, and they got to have diseases so they can have ease.
Right. Now, wait a minute. So you're talking about, when I was talking about the young people, you were talking about the very young, and they always come in fresh.
Yeah.
I don't mean them, because you're just saying that they're going to get amazed and duped and confounded, too, as they get older. So,
do they have to age?
No, they don't have to, but the thing is they're going to get...
That's the new
you
dynamic.
Just implied they were going to get confounded, and then Ion will be useful to them. But I thought in general you were saying not the 2-year-olds or 8-year-olds, but the 20-year-olds would be not having it and not need Ion, because they'll understand not physical. But now you just implied, no, they'll get all combobbled too.
Well, that's been this, that's been your stasis that you've been sort of dancing with. And when is that going to end? Never. So it becomes a very easy place after a while of just coming to the notion, the more that come into this place of being, it's going to get easier rather than harder.
It's going to get why did you say it's going to get easier?
Because as people start ascending, that ascension process.
Why would they start doing that?
Well, they are.
Well, how are they doing that? Why are they doing that?
Because they're coming to the place where we say all day, every day, that our job here, what we're about, is to have a connection, a seamless connection between the physical, non-physical, through the labyrinth of their mind. And that's ascended beings.
You just said everybody, you laid out this desolate, terrible situation the 21st century is in right now. And now you said, no, everybody's ascending.
Well, they're being forced to.
Oh, okay. So this is great
what
that
they've done so
it's
far.
Great that we, so we create all this technology to screw ourselves up so that we could flip into a, do a tetrad and flip into its opposite.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's why you kind
of... You didn't appreciate just the art of reproduction, so you have to create the bastardized version of it so that you get to a place where you have no affinity for it at all, so much so to the point that you come to a place where you go, wait, you know, sex was our idea. This is good and delicious. This is very wonderful. Let this just go back to where we were that got us to the place before we had the aberrated state of it. So then the state of the union becomes what's wonderful about it. If you could only figure out what was wonderful about it.
Is that a question?
It,
a question mark? What's wonderful about it?
No. Yeah, no, of the wonderment of it.
Yeah.
Of how it is indeed wonderful. Because if you can get into that place, then guess what happens? Then you're relaxing and allowing and hitting all cylinders, and then you can usher in the new thing, the thing that hasn't been yet, is heaven on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're quickly on the way to.
Right. So you're saying that people have really disconnected from their sexual activity in some way today?
Well,
sexual
no, they're all embracing, they're only embracing the aberrated version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just an example. Same thing with health.
Yeah.
Used to, people said, well, I'm going to live till I die, so I'm not going to worry about it, and they did just fine. And now they're worried. They're not worried about dying. They're worried about living,
and how healthy they are,
or not healthy they are.
Yeah.
Or you see, and so it just kind of keeps rolling from there. But it's not a problem. It's just the noticing and bringing up the empirical references that come back to say to even come to the place where you can question your effective notions that you consider to be real or surreal. That's actually what this conversation is about. How much can I take? How much is it? How much is right? How much is wrong? Which is true? Which is false? Which is okay? Which is not? And that notion is created from the individual human creators, obviously. But even on the larger scale, the larger dynamic, it comes into a simpler field of knowing that you can just know. And when you can come to that place, then you're not going to change anybody's mind because they're going to know. Take someone who is thoroughly, fully convinced on an idea, a meme, anything, pick something, and say, now you're going to have to figure this out, and this is going to be different. You've got to give it up because this isn't going to work. And push against that a little bit, and they'll tell you right quick how the milk got in the coconut. And that's great because then they'll come to Ion and they'll come to us and they'll say, Ion, I don't give a damn what you say. I'm going to do this. And we say, hip, 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 hooray. That's what we were trying to get to the start place. See, if we could get you to go at it anyway, that's where you're creating. That's where you're going beyond the meme of the day that says this can't work and you can't do this and you can't do that. No. Then it kicks in and all of a sudden, then you start hitting on all cylinders. And when you start hitting on all cylinders, that's when you start your ascension process and it becomes meaningful. When the ascension becomes meaningful to the individual human creators, and when the cares of life start growing strangely dim, that's when you know that you're on the right path. And it's very delicious.
the so you're complaining and celebrating.
No complaining.
Yeah, but you're saying that you're rejoicing that we are warring and getting ourselves confused because it's going to force us to come out of that.
Well, not to come out of it. It'll force you to acknowledge it. And when you acknowledge it, then all of a sudden it becomes something that's even embraceable.
And so you're saying people today, they're saying, screw you, non-physical, but from a deflated, backwards, going in the wrong direction position, and you want them to say, screw you, non-physical, from a different position.
Yeah, we wanted to do it from a place of, we're going to do what we want. We're the marvelous creator. And so...
And then people today think they're creators, but if they look into it, they're not very creative.
Well, do they think they're creators?
Well, some of them...
Everything they create, they spend the rest of their life trying to uncreate.
Mm.
So that's the... And then the questioning part seems to be the problem of the moment. If they could just create and not question and get on with it, then all of a sudden, much of this would not even be discussable.
Right, how come what Ayan's saying is repeating what other gurus and mediums have said or representatives, claimants of the non-physical, how come you're saying it now, what has been said by others, but it is now at the time where people will finally be forced to notice it?
Well, it seems to me that this is the first time in what you are counting where folks have been so moved with compassion that they even give it any relevance or credence at all. It's a new place, and the only thing new about it is that folks have contrasted themselves to where they're looking for an answer, and they want it all, and they want it now.
So if the Abraham showed up now, or if Edgar Cayce or Cosmic Awareness showed up now, they would be responded to? They would...
Not necessarily.
Because they aren't as complete as Ion in its agenda or form of expression.
Well,
they're not as simple.
Yes, we want to say that, but we don't want to more than they are.
Yeah, but you mean they complexify it. You would be you're more simple than them. Therefore, it's
absolutely faster. Absolutely, because if it doesn't work for everybody, it might not work for anybody.
Yeah. So when that woman called in the last show and you talked about her ex-husband and celebrating his removal, his transition and all that, she got it to the degree that Ion was happy with.
Sure. Sure, because then all of a sudden she's like, wow.
Right.
Now, they knew, but then I knew. And she didn't
want to say who's they? She goes, they knew, meaning Ion? Yeah. She was amazed that Ion knew about her situation. That's what you mean.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that was okay.
Okay, so that she gets a wow out of that. And then she'll get a call, and her kid's at school, and the principal fired the kid, you know, and then she'll get distracted and forget. Or do you think that did affect her? That has some staying power. You know what I mean?
It certainly did, because it reminds her what a marvelous creator she actually is.
And did it fast. Did it in 5 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't take forever. It was aligned. She was attuned. She was focused in her asking.
Yeah.
And as you find, the more they're cycled in on what they want to know, the easier it is for us in non-physical to give it, you know, to provide it.
Yeah, she asked the archetypal question, how do I get non-physical line with me, which many people would say, but it was perfect for Ion to correct, and then that allowed her to get.
Well, say, you don't worry about that. Try to get you to non-physical. That's so much easier, because it already is.
Okay, well, that's...
No, that's right. Very good, Bob.
That's good. That's a good way to end this. Very good.
All right, very good. We love to play all day, every day, and we do love and appreciate you more than you know.
Very good. I think, let me do tactility. We got that. Yeah, I think we got it all covered. We got antimatter. I don't know what's antimatter and all that we talked about. Oh, we did that. Yeah, we did that. I think we created a dictionary here.
Yes. yes.
Completed.
The non-physical physician's desk reference.
Yes, non-physical physician's desk reference. Yes, very good.
Very good. Well, happily, as always, at 2:22, we love to do what we do.
It is 2:22.